Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Wednesday, April 6th. Welcome to Menace in the Morning. I am Zach Smith, your host, with my co-host, Chris Drew, live here on this fine Wednesday morning. Really excited to talk about, we're just going to have general conversation. This is the time of year where most shows, they create headlines and they just sit there and talk ad nauseum about complete nonsense. And before we get started, I want to mention, I got to plug it every day because I think it's something that could be huge and it could be extremely valuable to you as a football fan, a football player, or a football coach. And that is zone6.com, the number six. Just go check it out. Half of it is a charity. Half of the site highlights our charitable, you know, foundation, what we're trying to build and trying to get to do to impact the youth in Central Ohio and in Columbus. The other half is a for-profit athlete development and coaching development side. It's really big time. And right now we have a 7-day free trial. So it literally costs you nothing to go check it out. Like I said, 11 videos are up there now. We'll have 20 here in the next week and we'll just keep building and keep putting stuff on there. And it's really big time. I mean, it's right now it's a bunch of drill tapes, some fundamental evaluations. It's basically me teaching you what I teach football players. And so it's incredibly valuable, I believe. As a matter of fact, I know it is. I mean, I have a full a division power five. Let's see. I have an SEC coach, a Big 12 coach, a Big 10 coach, and an ACC coach all signed up already. Like, so if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for youth coaches, high school coaches, youth, middle school athletes, high school athletes, you name it. Zone6.com. Go check it out. You will have a better understanding of the receiver position, really skill, football skill, receiver, corner, running back, tight end too. So go check it out. Zone6.com. Like I said, 7-day free trial when you sign up. So you can try it out for 7 days and then cancel if you don't like it. And it costs you literally $0. So go check out zone6.com.
Also, you just put up a breakdown on the Menace Sports YouTube channel as well, talking about the Ohio State offense and kind of going through the Rose Bowl stuff. It really helps us guys if you guys go like and comment on that and let us know what you think. We're working on, you know, putting out more high level content that you can't get anywhere else. So really excited.
For some reason, we use a StreamYard to do this live show, which right now it looks HD. It looks great, but we recorded that YouTube video yesterday and it's like fucking 320p. Like I don't know what the problem is. I really don't, but it's still really valuable information. Basically I decided, you know, as spring ball winds down, I want to break down for you guys what exactly is Ryan Day's offense and what do they run and what can we look for in the fall of 2022. And also the video coming out later this week is breaking down Jim Knowles' defense because I've seen it all. And Chris made a point. I get a couple of his friends of his mentioned that when I do these videos, they're like, he does a great job. What do they say, Chris?
They do a great job of making complex concepts like easy to teach. It's like easy to understand.
And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. These people that are scheme gurus out there, all these people that are teaching scheme, and they try to talk with high level, like, oh, that's just a hot Viper 22 fire. And you're like, what? What is hot Viper? I don't even know. Just so you know, when those people say shit like that, I don't know what it means. And I know football better than almost anyone in sports media. Mm-hmm. Maybe,
I mean,
anyone.
You're the 0.1 percentile. I mean,
without a doubt. And they say shit like that. You're like, oh, that's a Viper 2 coverage. And I'm literally sitting there. People send me a video or an article, and I'm like, what the fuck is Viper 2 coverage?
Double I've never Viper heard 2 of that. Cover 0 years, with
a coaching at the highest level. And so it is true in all walks of life. Mm-hmm. The person that has average intelligence on a subject but tries to sound smart doesn't really know what they're talking about. It's the people that can talk about high-level things and make them understandable to the average person that actually knows what they're talking about. And I mentioned it to Chris. I guess when you've coached, especially coached receivers, as long as I have, like, that's your job, right? Because you have to take this high-level knowledge of scheme, execution, you name it, spacing, fundamentals, technique, all of that. And you have to teach it to an 18-year-old that doesn't know his ass from his his mouth. And so you have to be able to do that. And so that's what I'm excited to do. So we broke down Ryan Day's offense. Go check it out. It's on our YouTube channel. And we're going to break down Jim Knowles' defense, like I said, later this week, probably tomorrow. So just want to give you insight into what the Buckeyes are running. But I did want to mention, Chris, because I can't keep my mouth shut. I just can't. And I do want to shout out this show, because I do tune in, and I don't tune into many shows, is the Bucknuts Morning Five. I listen to it. I mean, they've kind of crept up on our space, so I can't watch it live anymore, because now they're going live like pretty much like 10 minutes before our show.
You're but a trendsetter. I love Dave. That means Middle. It's working. You're a trendsetter. That means it's working.
Well, it's fine. It's great. I mean, I messaged Dave Biddle when we started the morning show. Like, I stole their idea of Bucknuts Morning Five and started a morning show because of it. And then they started doing video probably because we did. So it's all great. And like I said, I really like Dave Biddle. I think he's really good. And I think the Bucknuts Morning Five is a really good show. But they had this fucking guy on there today, right before we went live, and they were talking about the Buckeye linebackers, and he made a statement that I just can't fucking let go. I wanted to let it go. I'm like, I don't need to talk about it, but nope, I can't let it go. I just can't. And it's these fucking these reporters that want to be analysts and talk about how good a kid is, or how, you know, who needs to improve. And they were talking about the linebackers, and they brought up Tommy Eichenberg, and he said, oh, you know, he still has a lot left to prove, and I agree. And then he said, you know, although he had a great Rose Bowl. And I was like, what? And I started yelling at the phone that I'm listening to it on. I'm like, oh, he had a great Rose Bowl. Oh, because you have no fucking clue what you're talking about. And you read a stat line. By the same logic, Bryson Shaw was one of the best players on the defense. Right? Because we're just tracking box scores at this point. Mm-hmm. Tommy Eichenberg made fucking 13 tackles, 6 yards downfield, was not in his gap plenty, and did not trigger and did not have a great Rose Bowl. Just so we're clear. Kid could become a phenomenal player. I'm not saying he can't. I'm not saying he's not going to be. But he was so below average and did not have a good Rose Bowl. I want to make sure Ohio State fans know that. He did not have a good Rose Bowl. Just because he made tackles at the linebacker position, you're supposed to make tackles.
Right.
And when the ball carrier runs through your gap, the one you're responsible for a 4 to 5 yard gain, and you make the tackle, that is a minus play. That is not a plus play. That is a minus play. So I just have to get that off my chest, because I hear that shit all the time. And it's like, Wait, what?
And something else of note, when the two leading tacklers on your team are both safeties, that means that your linebackers were not doing a good job.
100%. 100%. It's like when corners have 7 tackles, you're like, oh God, that's a bad day. That means he let up 7 catches and tackled the guy. That is not a good day for the corner. But if you just track a box score, you're like, man, 7 backs played great. He had 10 tackles. Like, he got torched all game. What are we talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
So this is just that's our dumbass sports media personality of the week. I don't know his name. Don't care. Never heard of him when I did read his name, and now I already forgot it. But man, I just careful who you listen to. Just careful who you listen to. And like I said, and this is not to shit on the show, because I actually really like the show, and I do listen to Dave Biddle, so I would listen to him. I encourage that. But whoever the guy was on with him today, yikes.
Anyway, I do have a question for you, Zach, in terms of like development and recruiting, in terms of players. Are there any players that really you thought recently that really didn't live up to the potential that you thought they had? And what is the reason you think they didn't live up to that?
I mean, yeah, pretty much any high level recruit that doesn't play as much. You know, Kayvon Pope was one I thought was a really good player in high school. Taraja certainly hasn't lived up to his hype. I mean, he was our number one inside linebacker coming out of high school, and he's played a little bit. And I'm not blaming that on him. I'm blaming that on kind of the general theme the last 2 years of lack of development and just a fucking shit show on defensive staff. So Taraja is the one that I look to have a Curtis Grant type of year. Right. One of those, you know, really 4 years, 3 years, whatever it's been, hasn't really done much at all.
I think he's more physically gifted than Curtis Grant also.
For sure. But it's just you look for that switch to flip. Right. Mm-hmm. He's got new blood. He's got new life. He's got Jim Knowles, this linebacker guru. Right. He's got this new scheme, the Jim Knowles defense, the Leo Viper quadruple coverage. He's got it all. Right. But what he has is a newfound life. Right. He is a new human being. The minute the new defensive staff came in, he is he was reborn, right? He has a new opportunity. And so he's a guy in a position of dire need. Mm-hmm. You look at the linebacker group and the two guys that I think need to step up in a big way are Taraja Mitchell and EA, because those two are so talented. And they just, you know, you saw EA flash a little bit last year, although he came back from injury. Maybe he wasn't 100%. You really haven't heard much.
He wasn't being set up for success, Zach. There were a couple times where it was like pivotal situations and he hadn't played all game. They just tossed him out there and it wasn't setting up a kid for success. I feel bad for him and Mitchell, especially because I feel like kind of at least Mitchell, how much undoing of bad habits is Knowles going to have to do versus actually being able to teach and kind of get him ready?
Well, it's coaching. I mean, everyone has bad habits, and you got to try to eliminate them, create new habits. And he got a whole year to do it. So, or really 9 months to do it. So you would think he'd be able to do it. I think that's the key to this team, right? You want to know what the key to the team right now is, especially with Cade Stover moving back to tight end. I think that offense is solidified. I mean, they got to improve. They got to get better. CJ's got to, his nuts have to drop, and he's got to get some hairies on there, go through puberty. I don't know what it is, but that has to happen for this offense to be, you know, that LSU 2019 type of offense, which it has the capability of being, I truly believe. So for it to become that needs to happen. But on defense, you're really looking at, I think the safety position is going to be solid. The corner position is, I mean, you have two first rounders at corner, in my opinion, Cameron Brown, Denzel Burke. You bring some of those young guys on, your corners are going to be great. The D line's going to be outstanding with those super, like you call them, super sophomores, mm-hmm. having, you know, now they're truly college football players, right? Because freshmen are not football players. Mm-hmm. So they're truly college football players. They had a whole offseason with Mick, spring ball, all of that. And so I think the D-line is going to be great. We all, you know, in Larry Johnson, we trust always. And with this new scheme and new defense, I think they're going to be great. So really the key, you talk about the key to the national championship, the key to hoisting that golden, beautiful trophy, it lies in the linebacker's room with Jim Knowles running the show. And so it really comes down to four guys, in my opinion. Steel Chambers is going to be a dog. I think we all know that. We all think that. He showed flashes last year, and he truly was still kind of a running back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it really comes down to, you got Steel Chambers, Taraja Mitchell, possibly, Cody Simon, and EA. Those are the four that I'm looking to. And then obviously you have a slew of younger talent that I think could fill a role, mm-hmm. or develop, but that's really, I mean, that is the key to the magical year that people are looking for here, right? Ryan Day's first championship.
Mm-hmm. And Tommy, it sounds like he's going to be a big part of it, at least the way things are sounding right now. Obviously, we'll see how things shake out when Cody Simon gets healthy. And they have the kid from Hoban, the transfer from Arizona State. I mean, at some point, you think for him to transfer back home, you think that he's going to get a shot or play, but it should be interesting. And if the key to the national title, Zach, lies with can the linebackers perform, there's no better coach to have. Like, that's just it. That is a legitimate linebacker expert.
Well, I mean, you're talking about the key to winning a national championship right now lies in the hands of a man that you just gave a $2 million check to. So mm-hmm. you got to think, you got to feel decent about that, right? Like he is the guy that you absolutely backed up a Brinks truck to bring in. So you got to feel decent that he's going to have a chance to deliver a product that's good enough, right? Because if you think about it, Chris, this offense being as potent as it potentially could be, you talk about the 2019 LSU team, their defense was good, but it mm-hmm. wasn't last year's Georgia's defense. Mm-hmm. Ohio State doesn't need last year's Georgia defense. They don't. They need 2019 LSU's defense, just a good defense, right? That can slow people down, stop them on third down, and just hand the ball to the offense. Honestly, create turnovers. If they just create turnovers, this team is going to be damn near impossible to beat.
Has there ever been an assistant coach at Ohio State that comes in with more pressure on his shoulders than Jim Knowles this year?
No. I mean, not in recent memory. Because the offense is so loaded, mm-hmm. and because the defense was so bad for 2 years, and really, you know, if you really want to look at what happened, right, Ohio State, Alabama in a national championship game, defense gets scorched, and that's why they lose the game, right? Didn't make the playoffs last year after losing to Oregon and then losing the rivalry game because of the defense, right? CJ didn't, the offense didn't play outstanding against Oregon, but that was one you could bounce back from, a la Virginia Tech in 2014. It was really because of the thorn in the side of this Ohio State football team for the past 2 years. And then because of the paycheck they gave the man. I mean, you get a lot of pressure making $2 million a year as a coordinator. A lot. Right. So,
a
yeah.
Lot. That's a lot of pressure.
The most pressure on an assistant that I can remember in recent memory.
Mm-hmm. Something that I don't think has been talked about and that I'm curious your thoughts on, that we kind of exchanged a couple texts about. But, Zach, when Jim Knowles was brought to Oklahoma State to change their defense, to take it over after the firing happened, their defense actually, in terms of scoring and yards allowed, got worse the year after and then slowly got better until it had a big leap in year four, and then obviously now he's with Ohio State. One thing I'm concerned about is, will this defense have growing pains, and how will, you know, the media and everybody handle that if it's not a quick fix, if it's not Hackley in 2019? Is that something that concerns you at all, or do you think that this will be a pretty quick fix in terms of the
defense? Well, I mean, it has to be a quick fix, right? There's no time for slow growth. And I think that's very different situations. I mean, at Oklahoma State, it was literally developing, you know, lesser athletes than he has now. And it was a process from recruiting to development to you know,
I know there was issues with the teaching of the scheme. There was some problems. They had some confusion issues a lot those first 2 years.
Well, and on top of that, right? Coaches get better. Coaches grow, right? So, and I certainly haven't studied the Oklahoma State film from 4 years ago or 3 years ago, but coaches improve. I mean, that's just the reality of coaching, right? Just because a guy was maybe, he might have just been a decent coach 4 years ago and he developed his defense. He might have went out and studied defenses. He might have studied his own defense and developed this scheme and this system to where now it's a high-functioning machine, right? So I really will only evaluate him based on last year, because that was the version of Jim Knowles that we hired. And you look at the ball of clay he has now. I mean, it's like, you know, he had this much clay at Oklahoma State and he walked into Ohio State and the ball of clay is this fucking big. And so it's like, can you build a sculpture out of that? And he walked in and said, fuck yeah, I can. You're damn right. We're going to build a big ass sculpture.
It's interesting. I thought about him when you were talking about Justin Fry the other day, talking about like coming into the Ohio State offensive line room, being like, holy smokes, look at the talent I have at my disposal. I mean, Ohio State recruits really well, and even though their offensive recruiting has been ahead of their defensive recruiting, you still walk into that room thinking, oh, wow, like I have Burke out there. Oh, wow, I have Cameron Brown out there. Yep. Oh, wow, I have Josh Proctor, who is just a superstar of clay, to say the least. So I do think it is interesting. Oh, there's a question about, will Ohio State look to the transfer portal to replace the recent corner and safety transfers? No, they're over the limit still, and obviously the rooms are pretty loaded. Zach, I did want to kind of move forward.
To that point, yes, they might not take a transfer, but they're looking in the portal 24/7. They have people, full-time staff members that monitor the portal every day and monitor potential portal options. And if there's a great player out there, they're going to go get them, because I've said it
forever. You think so? You think so?
I've said it forever. If it fills a need, absolutely they will.
I like to think so, but the whole Ricks thing, I still kind of lean back with.
Yeah, I mean, that obviously wasn't a good fit. Right. It wasn't a fit. It wasn't something they were looking to do. And but I've always said it, and I will always say it. And it was part of the problem I had with Ohio State's compliance department. And Doug Archie is the problem. Is at least now they're giving Ryan the freedom to be over the limit, because everyone does it. Everyone is over the limit, and it sorts itself out. And you can sort it out as a coach. And it's not shady business to push a kid out the door and have him transfer. It's what's best for that kid and the program. And that's what matters, right? That the kid has things happen that is best for him, and that the program has what is best for the program happen. And being at 88 scholarship players in spring ball is perfect. They were, I think, 90. That's perfect.
But the limit's 85.
Because the transfer portal has made it such that you're going to lose five kids easy after spring ball. Shit, they already lost two, and it's not even spring ball's not even over. It's scholarship limits are ridiculous. to sit here and say you need to be at 85 in spring. No, you need to be at 90, 92 in spring. And then seven kids probably generically, just naturally, are going to transfer or leave. Or a kid's going to get hurt and you're going to medical. He's going to medical. Like, things are going to happen. So back to the transfer portal, they will definitely take a great – if they there's a great linebacker in the portal, you bet your ass they're going to take him because they need high-level linebackers right now. They do. And so they will take one. And guess what? There will be a third-string linebacker that transfers to Toledo or Indiana or Nebraska or Kansas, right? That will happen.
That still makes me sad, man. That's still Craig Young, but that still makes me sad. But I want to continue, Zach. Now that you said the offense is set, I do see your point. I would honestly, if I were a coach, I would like to carry 90 through spring ball, and then after spring ball, let the five or however many transfer, because it's going to happen. If you have 85, you're still going to have guys transfer, because transferring is about playing time. So I would carry 90 into spring. But I do want to ask, so there's really high expectations for the offense, and I'm curious to know, do you think that Ryan Day and Corey Dennis, how much effort are they putting into getting like Kyle McCord or Devin Brown ready in the case of emergency? If you feel like, you know, CJ Stroud is so good, this is like, we've done a lot with him, maybe we can afford to put more emphasis into those backup quarterbacks, or is that not something that takes place during the spring?
I mean, that's the job of a coach, right? And I used to talk shit to Ryan all the time. Like, if you can't develop three guys, what the fuck? Like, I got to develop 12, like three. Come on, man. No. And I say that in jest, like somewhat joking, because the quarterback position is so much more complicated than receiver. But yeah, I mean, they're developing all three, and spring is when you do it, because I mentioned it last year with the Quinn Ewers conversation. You don't in halfway through training camp, try to develop your third string quarterback. I mean, you're trying to develop your starters and backups because you have to go win a game. Right. And so the Devin Brown, Kyle McCord conversation will be over after the first week of training camp. There will be a number two quarterback, and they will be getting him game ready. Because if you look at, you know, knock on wood, the one thing that could derail this whole fucking thing is CJ Stroud going down. Right. Yeah. So that next man up has to be Cardale Jones. Like Tom Herman, as much shit as I talk about Tom Herman, what he did in 2014 is fucking unheard of. Right. Braxton Miller gets hurt middle of training camp. He gets JT Barrett ready for the season. JT Barrett has a great year. JT Barrett breaks his leg, and Cardale Jones comes in and looks outstanding. Like that needs to be the case, right? Whoever that next man up is has to be ready. So that's Corey Dennis and Ryan Day's entire job, is to make sure, one, that CJ is maximized, and two, that the next man up is ready to go compete for a national championship. It's just the reality of coaching.
I just do wonder, because like, at what point do you kind of, as a coach, ease off of you know, CJ Stroud a little bit, because, you know, he's been in the program for some years.
Never.
He's shown that he wants to grind. Never. I just feel like at some point, like at least for Ryan Day and Justin Fields, like at some point you can almost ease off having to hover coach him, and just like, because he knows what's expected of himself.
Never. I mean, that gets back to maximization. Like, I don't care how good a kid is. If you're not coaching the shit out of him every play, then you're not coaching him. You're doing a disservice to the kid. I don't care if he's the number one overall pick right now. There's still things he can improve. He can still learn the game at a deeper level. There's always growth to be had, right? Always. Tom Brady right now can get better. Mm-hmm. He can. And that's why in the offseason he works, right? Otherwise, you just stay in shape and just kind of chill.
I got you. I just, you know, my athletic career ended in high school, and like the seniors on the rugby team, it was like, oh, like you guys know what's expected. You guys are good. And the younger guys tended to get coached harder at that point. It was like a torch passing kind of thing.
Well, there's more to coach, right? Mm-hmm. There's more to coach with the younger or, you know, lesser players, but you don't ever stop coaching your best players. You got to coach your best players hard, as hard or harder than the rest of the group. And then that's how you set a standard.
Mm-hmm. I do want to ask you about receivers, Zach. Something that I want to touch on more and more as we continue this show and you continue to grow your Zone 6 platform. I want to talk about deep speed for a sec, because something that I've always wondered about, what makes deep speed different from regular speed? Because Paris Campbell was a freak fast-wise, but I don't think he's in the same category deep speed-wise as a guy like Devin Smith. What makes Devin Smith such a great deep threat, and maybe a guy like Paris Campbell more of like a catch-and-run kind of guy?
Yeah, I mean, Paris was obviously, I guess he was a better athlete with the ball in his hands than Devin was, but Devin had a deep speed as it applies to football is critical, right? It's not just, you know, how fast are you from 20 to 60, which Devin was ridiculous. I mean, he had another gear that I don't know that I've ever seen, but it was his ability to track a ball, and he just had this extra gear to get to it, right? Like Braxton, I've told the story before, but Braxton Miller came in the offseason after 2012. He was out throwing, and he came and sat in my office just hanging out, bullshitting, whatever. And he made the comment. He was like, I was like, how'd it go? And he was like, man, I can't overthrow Devin. I was like, what do you mean? He was like, when he runs a go route and I take my drop, I throw it as far as I can, and I can't overthrow him. I tried all day today, and I can't overthrow him. So Devin just had an ability to track the ball that I've never really seen. And then he had an extra gear that he could kick his body into to get to it if he needed to. And it's just, it was just different.
So ball tracking and maintaining speed, or being able to ball track and pick up speed. Cause I just think Paris is so fast. Ridiculously fast.
Paris is ridiculously fast, but he didn't have the ball skills Devin had down the field. And Paris worked his ass off on his ball skills to the point where now he has pretty good ball skills. And he did not when he first came in. Him and Terry McLaurin are kind of in the same boat. They both had drop issues. I mean, you go back to the Virginia Tech game in 2015 on the road, Paris, because I had three receivers that were fucking dumbasses and failed a drug test. They were suspended for the game. And Paris started, and I felt great about Paris starting. I mean, Paris was just a really good player. You talk about a coachable kid. Everything I told that kid to do, he did everything. And Virginia Tech went zero pressure, which means that, you know, they blitzed everybody and just played man to man with no help. Paris ran an unbelievable, it's called a five step. It's a post. He ran a five step post and just broke the DB off, and just the ball hit his hands like a brick wall, and he dropped it. And so that's where he was. And you look at 2018, his last year, just his ball skills improved immensely. So Devin had natural deep ball skills and Paris didn't, but Paris developed better ball skills just through reps, through working, right?
Yeah.
Grinding on it.
It's like Terry McLaurin also. I mean, that wide receiver room obviously kind of set the stage, and it's a big legacy impact. That wide receiver room, all seniors, all became captains, all guys that showed drastic improvement, and guys that are still in the NFL. So I do want to move forward. Some news from down south. I was doing some message board reading, and I saw a tweet yesterday. J.E. Hall, the Bama wide receiver, he was a top 50 kid coming in. I don't know if you remember, had the absolutely insane spring game last year. Yeah. And then J-Mo, you know, obviously transferred from Ohio State to Alabama. The kid didn't really play. And a tweet came out saying that he's no longer on the team. And then I went and double checked, and it said this was not an accident. Like, I went to the Bama 247. This is not a mistake. He's no longer on the team. And then he quote tweets it and says, "This is news to me." Zach, are we getting a situation where reporters are getting information before kids?
Are you capping? Who knows? Who knows what's going on there? Just definitely an interesting, I guess, chain of events. But yeah, it's not that surprising. I mean, Nick Saban operates differently than most places. It's like a corporation. I mean, it's one of those things where your key card might not get you in the door, and you're like, what the hell? It's like, oh yeah, you've been cut. My bad.
Yeah, and that kid's gonna have plenty of suitors. I mean, that kid is a big, strong kid, really fast kid, and obviously showed the ability to make some plays, but couldn't get on the field. And I do remember when Nick Saban gave that speech about, you know, guys were itching to play all year, and then they were complaining, and then when the time came due to injury or something else, guys got on the field and weren't ready.
Oh yeah,
I think it sounds like he was talking about Hall.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. And all those young receivers. I mean, Bama doesn't have a lack of talent issue. Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned it after the game, I mean, that receiver coach really should be on the hot seat, because mm-hmm. It's like we just talked about the quarterback position, and it's way easier at receiver. You better have your backups ready to roll. I mean, they might not be as good as Jameson Williams and John Metchie, but they better be ready to play at a pretty high level. And you just don't want to be the reason you lose, right?
Right.
You may not, your backup may not be the impact player that wins the game for you, but you just can't, they can't be the reason you lose, right? Yeah, they got to be good enough.
Right. Guys got to get open. I think it's so interesting. And what's almost like in comparison to Ohio State, where we have them completely lapped, it's like, oh, when our first rounders didn't play, like those guys behind him were more than ready.
Without a doubt. I mean, that's Brian Hartline did an outstanding job, mm-hmm. right? That's what it is. And I don't know the receiver coach at Bama. I probably do, but I haven't looked, but he did not, right? Mm-hmm. So Brian Hartline gets an A, that guy gets an F. Yep. Simple as that. It's an Urban Meyer, you say it all the time. It's an evaluation friendly business. So evaluation friendly. Push play. Like, it doesn't matter what you say in an interview. It doesn't matter if you talk about hot 42-75 coverage. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what comes out of your mouth. It's really, really simple. How good of a coach are you? Turn on the film.
Yeah.
Push and play. Let's see. Because you are as good a coach as your players play. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because, like, Bama wide receivers coach might keep getting bailed out because they just had the Burton kid from Georgia, who's a good player, transfer in. I mean, at some point, if Hartline keeps recruiting at a high, high level like he is, there could be a situation where another guy leaves Ohio State and goes to Bama and does well. So that Bama coach might honestly get away with never having to develop a wide receiver because they're going to keep bringing in talent.
Well, they're going to – it's like we talked about the transfer portal. They're going to fill a void. Mm-hmm. Like, Nick Saban is not going to go into a year and be like, damn, our wideouts suck. That's never going to happen. Like, he'll go find some wideouts now. It's Bama. Yep. But, yeah, I mean, if you're relying on transfers constantly, especially at a singular position, you got to really question, what the fuck is that coach doing? Like, can we not recruit and develop that we have to get transfers every year? I mean, they had to get Jameson Williams last year. They're a completely different team with him. Without him, I don't even think they're in the playoffs. They might not even, you know, win the SEC or be in the SEC championship game without him. Mm-hmm. And this year, all right, you look at both Mechie and J-Mo are gone. Now they bring in Jermaine Burton, and it's like, Christ, like, at some point we're signing four and five star receivers. At some point, those kids have to develop and play. Mm-hmm. You can't just always rely on Georgia and Ohio State to give us great players, right?
I mean, Lincoln Riley did it at OU. He was taking just transfer quarterback and transfer quarterback, plugging him in and hitting play, and then he got his own quarterback in Spencer Rattler. And obviously, that didn't work out. He's at South Carolina now, and we'll see if he can really develop a quarterback, because you and I both think Caleb Williams could be dynamic and could be really special, but we also think he's not there yet. Yeah. Zach, I don't have anything else for today except for Stephon Diggs just signed a four-year extension for $104 million. The wide receiver market pays well. Another reason for you to go sign up at Zone 6 is, who knows, the next, you know.
Right. You want an investment. Go sign up on zone6.com. You can make $100 million.
Okay. We're just saying Stephon Diggs.
I'll tell you this much, Chris. I won't go as far to claim that, but guess what? This platform and the tools that we are putting out will get you closer to $100 million than if you didn't have the platform and the tools. That's all I do know. You may not make a penny, but you might. And it'll get you closer.
Thanks to the Jaguars, all you got to do is go be a mid wide receiver and you can go make $70 million.
Hey, they're paying $70 million for mid. Imagine that. But hey, I appreciate everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. Please go check out Zone 6. It's free. I don't know what else to say. It is free. 7-day trial. You can cancel after 1 day, 6 days, whatever. Go sign up. 7-day free trial. Zone6.com. I promise, once you start watching the videos, you're going to be like, damn, we're going to pump stuff like this out consistently forever. Yeah, I'm staying signed up. I promise you will. So that's all I got for you. Appreciate everybody. Menace out.